listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I believe that throughout the Bible is our second chance. John 3:16 is a second chance verse. If you go all the way back to the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, they messed up. John 3:16 is our second chance. For God so loved the world that whether or not we denied Him, disowned Him, whether or not we did all these things, we've made these mistakes. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That is our second chance. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about David with Bathsheba. I want to talk about the king and how he was anointed king. And David, you got to love, you either love him or you loathe him. David was either, he was either your man or he wasn't. But in the Bible, and it talks about there was a time when kings were to go out to war. And he decided he was going to stay home. And, you know, anytime you're not where you're supposed to be, you're probably opening yourselves up for trouble.
That's good.
But anyway, the story goes on, and I was going to preach. Well, the story would go on, and I guess I'm talking about it now. So I'm not calling this preaching, so don't start my time. We're just talking. In fact, I wrote the very first thing in my book is closing. I write that first so we can get that out of the way, and then we can do what we got to do, take care of business. But David, back to David. Y'all get me off track. Back to David. Here he is, the king. Now, he's supposed to be out doing his thing, but yet he's not. So he takes a nap one day, and then he comes back, and he wakes up from his nap, and for whatever reason, he decides he wants to go and walk on the roof. Excuse me, but I'm not going to walk on the roof of my house. That's just not something I do. But he's up there on the roof, and he notices, you know the story, he notices this beautiful woman over there bathing on the roof. And again, I don't know why they did these things on the roof. I guess it was for heat, the sun, I don't know. But here she is bathing, and you know the story. He looks at her, he lusts after her, he commits murder for her, commits adultery with her, has a baby with her. The prophet Nathan comes in and tells him this story of two men and having visitors come in, and the one man has everything. He has all the cattle and all this, and the one man only has this one goat. And the man that has everything takes the one goat from the man and kills it, and David is furious. Well, that was God's second chance. Nathan told him that he was the one that did that. That was God's second chance. I mean, we could go on about talk about David's second chance, Peter's second chance. We could go all throughout the Bible and talk about second chances, but for some reason, I really couldn't get my hand and my head wrapped around what I wanted to say. 1:30 last night, 1:30, I'm still up trying to put this thing together. And it's not happening. Sandra and the kids are asleep. I'm in the bed. I'm trying to do this thing, and it's just not happening. Finally, I said, God, I got to lay down. I got to get some sleep. So I put it down. And this morning at about 6 o'clock when I woke up, I went in there to try to do whatever I was going to do, and we've completely gone somewhere else. So the piggyback off that is not going to happen, which doesn't make me a liar, by the way, Curtis, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about fork in the road. A fork in the road. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? I mean, kind of obvious what's right there. I mean, but if you don't see that, you're in trouble. But I want to talk about forks in the road because I believe that there's someone in here this morning that's standing at a crossroad. You're standing before a situation. You're standing before a circumstance. You're standing in the way of the video. That's why. Let me stay over here. Everybody's over here anyway. Almost. But I like the seats. I'm sorry. I like the seats. I got the microphone. I can say it. I like the seats, and I like the fact that some of them are empty because I'm commissioning each and every one of you this morning to be farmers. To be farmers. We've laid the seed out there. These seats are seeds. You know, and you plant seeds, you have to throw it in the ground to do something. It's our responsibility with God's help to fill these things. And I believe that God is doing something in this church. And I believe we have these curtains up for a reason. I believe that they're expandable for a reason. I'm just believing God to do so much in this house and through you guys. Now, back to the fork in the road. What do you do when you come to the fork in the road? What if I walk in front of it now, I'll be okay. What do you do when you're doing everything that you know to do right? You're doing everything that you know to do right, and all hell is still breaking loose. What do you do when you're doing everything that the Bible tells you to do, but yet all hell is still breaking loose? What do you do when there's no money in the bank? What do you do when there's no gas, there's no food, there's no power, the mortgage is due, and there's threats of foreclosure, repossessions? What do you do when there's no peace at work, when there's no peace in your home? What do you do when your spouse comes in and says, you know, I just don't love you anymore, I don't think it's going to work? Well, what do you do when you go in for just a simple checkup at the doctor and you walk out with a disease? You go in thinking you have your whole life before you, and you come out and they've told you you've got weeks to live, months to live. What do you do? You're standing at a crossroad. You've got to make a decision. It's at that moment, when you're standing at a crossroad, the decision that you make is going to determine your outcome. The decision you make at the crossroad, at the fork in the road, is going to determine the outcome. Life can be hard, and life is hard enough by itself, but we compound the issue when we make goofy mistakes, when we make wrong decisions, when other people make wrong decisions for us. It compounds it. Anybody heard of a tailspin? You know, Top Gun. I love Top Gun. And you know, Top Gun came out a couple years ago, when I was 25. Actually, I think it's on like the 20th anniversary. The year, so that makes me what, 28. But liar is not going on that shirt. Lord, leave me alone. But in that movie, there's the one scene where Maverick and Goose, they're up in the plane, and then they get clipped and they go into a tailspin. You know, that's how our life is. When we make the wrong choices, life's hard enough just to navigate through life, but when we make the wrong choices and the wrong decisions, and then we allow other people to affect our lives, we get caught in that tailspin. So what are you going to do? What do you do at that fork in the road? I keep hearing people saying, and I'm going to pull this up here because it keeps sinking on me. I keep hearing people saying that God is not going to help me. I hear people say that a lot. God's not going to help me. I made this, so I've got to fix it. You know, the other saying is that you made your bed, now you have to lie in it. That's the mentality of most Christians, is that I made this mess, so I've got to fix it. And I thought about that, and what are we saying? When someone says that, they're saying that, God, you're not able to help me. We're either saying he's not able, or you can't help me, or I don't want your help. But in essence, we're telling God, you just stay back. Let me take care of this. God can help you and wants to help you. If you're to think that, or if someone's told you that, I don't care what their name is, that is a lie from the pits of hell. That is a lie. I don't care what their name is. If someone's told you that the mistake you're in or the situation you're in, you've got to get out of it by yourself, that is a lie. God wants to help us. You know, we're not responsible for what happened to Adam and Eve. We're not responsible for that sin, but we still feel the effects of it. And we have to be born again. The wrong choices that they made affected us. We've got to be born again. If you think that for one moment that you can't go to God, then go to Hebrews 4:14 with me. Just Hebrews 4:14. And I tell you, hey, I've learned a term in dance. I learned this term, and I hear it from my wife a lot. And no, it's not a plie, whatever it's called. But the term is hot mess. It's a hot mess. You know, I almost feel like what I want to say today is a hot mess. And I'm going to navigate through this thing the best way that I can. Because I believe that someone in this house today is standing at a fork in the road. I believe that one of the reasons I couldn't get my hands on that message is because someone in here has got to make a decision about a situation in their life. And this Sunday morning is about you. From the word that came out this morning about God not leaving you nor forsaking you, through the praise and worship, it was all about God being with you and not forsaking you. So this is a hot mess. And I didn't want to put hot mess on the CD, so we called it something else. But this is going to be a hot mess, and we're going to get through this the best way we can. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let's keep going. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. If you think that God is not concerned about your situation, He is. He has invited us to come in. He's told us that you have access to my throne. You have access to me. And I want to help you. So don't think that for a moment that God is not interested in your situation. Because He does want to help you. You are not alone standing at this crossroad. He is right there with you. And He will guide you and He will lead you if you will allow Him. So don't think that God is not willing or wanting to help. Jesus has all we need. We can find help in that time of need. If that's not enough, flip to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I think we're talking about this, aren't we? I think there's a reason why I couldn't preach this message. We've heard this. There's a theme going on today. What? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. That's shouting material right there.
Amen. That's good.
Yes. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. One more, I think. No, I didn't want that one. But the thing is, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what the fork is in the road, you don't have to go through it alone. You don't have to go through life alone. God is there. Jesus wants to help you. He sent His Holy Spirit here to help us, to lead us, and to guide us. You don't have to think for one moment that you're in this thing alone, because you're not. Someone's standing at a crossroad this morning, and the decision you make is going to really affect your life. They agree with me. So what do you do at that fork? What do you do? We won't go there, but in Acts 16 is the story of Paul and Silas. Now, Paul and Silas are doing their thing. They're going up, they're going to pray, and they're walking around, and they're just minding their own business. And there's this girl, and she's following behind them. And she keeps saying, these men are men of God, and they're doing all these things. You've read it. You know where we're at. You've done all, you're turning our city upside down. You're doing all these things. And finally, Paul got fed up with it, and he cast the devil out of this girl. Well, he gets thrown in prison for casting the devil out of her. They're in jail. And that's where we're picking the story up right here. What do you do at the fork that's before you? Acts 16:25 says, they began to praise God. There's a few things we got to do at this fork. One, we've got to allow God to help us. Two, we've got to praise Him. We've got to praise God. When you're facing the fork in the road, you'll have to choose what direction you're going to go. Paul and Silas decided they would go and praise. You and I have a decision to make. Are at the fork, are we going to praise God, regardless of whatever what the situation is? Are we going to praise God? And, you know, in your prison of no money, what do? You praise God. In your prison of no peace, what do? You praise God. In your prison of your spouse leaving you, what do? You praise God. In the prison of that doctor's bad report, what do? You praise God. Romans 8:2 says that our praise will silence and confuse the enemy. We praise God. We don't have to settle with the prison cell. Once you've decided to praise God, your prison door will open. Doesn't mean that the circumstance or the situation or the decision you've got to make is gone. What it means is how you handle it has changed. The prison door will open over your circumstance, but it doesn't mean that the circumstance is gone. What it means is you now have the ability to handle it in a different way. We're going to praise God at the fork. What are we going to do? You know, when you're faced with which way to go, what do? Daniel 4:6 says this, that it's a story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what it is these guys, again, you know this story, they're doing their thing. They're living their life according to what God requires of them. And Daniel has just explained King Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him. He's just revealed to the king what his dream was. You know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And the story goes on to say that the people didn't like what Daniel was doing. And so they tricked the king into making a decree that everyone would have to bow down and worship his idol. Well, the story goes that Daniel and them, these guys, are standing at a fork in the road. And they were told to do something that was contrary to what God wanted them to do. So what do? They stood their ground. They stood firm. What are you going to do at this fork in the road that you're facing this morning? You're going to stand firm. You're going to stand on the Word of God. You're going to stand on what God has told you to do. We're not going to sway one way or the other. We are going to stand firm and believe God to bring us through this thing. What they decided was to believe that God was able to deliver them out of this mess. That's what we're going to have to do at this crossroad this morning. One, we're going to allow God to help us. Two, we're going to praise Him. Three, we're going to stand firm, believing and knowing that He is able to deliver us. That He is able to see us through this thing. Abraham was another one that didn't compromise. Maybe I should have said it that way. To make it easier for us, maybe we allow God to help us. We praise God, and then we don't compromise. He's able. He is more than able. Abraham was another one who found himself doing what God told him to do. Now you go into Genesis 22. It's the story of where God had told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son. Excuse me. Sacrifice my who? But he does what God told him to do. Standing at your fork in the road this morning, do what God has told you to do. You know the right thing. That's what we've got to do. We've got to believe, again, that God is able to deliver us. He's able to help us in our time of need. The last thing, and again, I told you, I don't have a lot for you this morning, but I do believe that God changed the whole message for this one thing. Changed the whole message for this one thing. When you're standing at your crossroad, when you're standing at that fork in the road, You've got to believe. You've got to believe. We can't doubt. You've got to believe. Hebrews 11:31 says that Rahab the harlot did not perish like those who did not believe. If we were to go on to Joshua, the second chapter, we would pick up a story where Joshua is sending out a couple of spies to spy out the land. And in so doing, these two guys, they go out, and you know, they've come through and they've conquered all these different cities, and now they're standing before Jericho, which was one of the fortified cities, and you know, it's hard to penetrate this thing, but Joshua believes that God's given them a direction, and that's what they're going to do. So he sent these two spies out to spy out the land. Somehow, these two jokers end up in a harlot's house. I don't get it. But while they're inside the city, and here's what happened. They would open the gates of the city during the day. People would come in and come out. And at night, they would close the gates so that no one could come in, no one could get out. So these two spies are in there. And they're doing what they were told to do. But now they find themselves in trouble because someone's ratted them out, and now everybody's looking for them. So they figure what they were going to do is, what the best place to hide is in the harlot's house. So they're there. But let me tell you something about Rahab. Rahab had a choice to make. She could either rat them out and perish with the rest of them, or she could keep them, hide them, help them, and then get her help from God. Here's what she did. She hid them on the roof under some stalks of flax. And when the people came in, she said, you know what? She said, no, they've left. They've gone. Maybe if you chase them quickly out this way, you can catch them. Then she lets them down over the wall. But here's what she says. She says, you two guys worship the one true God, the living God. And I've seen what your God has done to the cities before this one. And I don't want to fall prey to your God. I believe that he is able to keep me. I believe that he is able to deliver me and my family. So here's the one thing I'm asking of you two guys. When you go back, till you tell them what I've done, I had a choice to make, and I could either help you or I could turn you in. But I decided that I was going to trust in your God. And that's what they did. And you know the story. When the spies went back, they went back and told Joshua, and Joshua said, listen, guys, we're going down here. We're going to do what we've got to do. We're going to do our thing. But I tell you what, not one hair on her head or her family's head is going to be touched. Everything belongs to God, and God's going to take everything. But this family will be spared. What do you do at that fork? What do you do at it? What do you do at the fork? You trust God. You believe God that he's going to keep you. You believe God that regardless of what's going on, regardless of the outcome of your right choice, God is going to keep you. We got to allow God to help us. We got to praise God. We can't compromise. And we've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. I don't know what you're facing this morning. But I do believe that someone in here has a decision that you've got to make. And I'll say it this way. Somebody in here has to make it. And you may have stood at a crossroad before and made the wrong decision. But that is not going to determine the outcome of your life. Hey, I can bring second chances in right here. But what I want you to understand this morning, and what I believe God wants you to know this morning, is that you don't have to face the fork in the road by yourself. I believe that the central theme for today is that God will not leave you. He'll not forsake you.
That's right.
And again, I told you we could have went home with that. But I believe God wanted me to tell you this morning that, one, he wants to help you. Let him help you. Two, praise him at that fork. Don't compromise. It's so easy to compromise. It's so easy when you're standing at your decision, your fork in the road, it's so easy to compromise and do something that you're not supposed to do. How many times you've heard this, you know, you take the easy road. But God's telling you this morning, don't compromise. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't compromise what you know about Him. Don't compromise what He has told you to do. You've got to make a choice this morning. And you can't compromise and go with the easy road. Not every time. Not every time that God delivers you out of something, it's easy. And then the last thing is we've got to trust God. Charlie, I'm going to close on that. I mean, I really don't. You can come up here and play something. I don't have anything else. And again, that's why I said come back next week. Because I don't want you. But I do believe that God wants you to understand these four things this morning. When you find yourself standing at the fork in the road and a decision has to be made, what are you going to choose? Will you choose to praise God or stay in the prison cell? Will you choose to stand firm? Will you choose to stand firm knowing that God is able to deliver you, to see you through your issue? Or again, will you settle for less than complete victory? Choose to believe regardless of your situation. God loves you and wants to see you through. Life will deal us choices. And it's at the fork of the road where we've got to make our decision. But I'm telling you this morning, I choose to allow God to help me more. Like the song said earlier, I choose to praise Him until He sees me through it. That's why I believe I'm doing what God wants me to do. Because everything is said, everything that we've done is said the same thing. Somebody needs to hear that God wants to help you. Somebody needs to hear that if you'll praise Him, He's going to help you. Somebody needs to hear that if you'll stand firm and believe that He's able to do it, God will show Himself strong. If you'll believe and trust in Him like Rahab did, God is going to see you through this. Isaiah 43 said that you're going to go through these things. You're going to go through the water. The water is going to come. The rivers are going to come. The fire is going to come. The trial is going to come. But God said, I will see you through. I will see you through. He's told us that we have access to the throne of God. And that regardless of what's going on in your life, you can at any time step into the presence of God. The Bible says that we have times of need. That fork in the road is your time of need. And He said, in that time of need, I've got more grace than you can handle. I'll see you through this thing.
Listening to the Gateway Family Church podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.